Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. We say hello and goodbye on this date in football history. We said hello on this date in football history to Uwe von Schaman in 1956. Happy birthday, Uwe von Schaman. Born in Germany, came to the States, played football at Oklahoma, and then went on to about a 6 or 7 year career with the Miami Dolphins. He was a 67% accurate field goal kicker. Probably would have lasted a year in the league with those numbers. Of course, times have changed. Training has changed. Kickers are much more accurate these days than they used to be. I found this story interesting. I think his last year at Oklahoma, they're playing Ohio State on the road and down two, and Ohio State calls the timeout to freeze him. He's coming out for a 41-yard kick. He leads the Ohio State chant of block that kick against himself, like to show it wasn't going to get him. And then he drilled the 41-yarder, said if he didn't make that kick, he doesn't think he would have been drafted, doesn't think he would have been a Miami Dolphin, and his life turned around completely on that one. And on this date in football history, we also said goodbye to a broadcasting legend. That would be none other than Howard Cosell. Howard Cosell passing away on this date in football history in 1995 at the age of 77. Consistently voted America's favorite and least favorite sportscaster at the same time. Ryan O'Halloran generally gets about half of that, I think. you figure. I think it's the most favorite, Ryan, is what I was going with right there. But were you a Howard Cosell fan?
A little bit before my time.
Was he?
I mean,
you call me old?
Well...
Maybe? Smidge?
Well, a little bit.
All right.
My Monday Night Football viewing started like 87, 88.
Yeah, that was definitely after the Howard Cosell reign. Obviously had an incredible rapport with Muhammad Ali as well that helped make him one of the most famous names in sports broadcasting. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you, giving you a competitive price and giving you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Ooh, a lot of news today. Wide receiver Greg Jennings has agreed to a 2-year, $8 million deal to join the Miami Dolphins. San Diego Chargers general manager Tom Telesco said yesterday that from his perspective, the situation with Phillip Rivers hasn't really changed. His plan is for Rivers to be the Chargers quarterback for many years to come. Roger Goodell has handed down his punishment in the case of Greg Hardy. After reviewing the evidence in the case, Goodell and the NFL has suspended Hardy for 10 games. Hardy will appeal that suspension. They did get a look at all the case files, documents, pictures of what happened between him and his girlfriend, whatever happened on that alleged night that a jury or a bench trial he was found guilty of. Jury trial never really got started because she disappeared, essentially.
Didn't they say something about part of the punishment was so severe because it was in the presence of all these weapons? I mean, look, I get it if he was using the weapons to threaten her. That's one thing, but... So Greg Hardy should be allowed to own guns, right?
It's like we're always defending the action.
Of course not.
But it's like he got an extra game or two because she landed on guns.
Yes.
That was weird.
It seemed to be that case. I thought that was weird, too.
After a series of appeals, a judge has approved the settlement between the NFL and its former players regarding concussions and the resulting long-term effects. The original deal called for $765 million to potentially be allocated to the former players. And while the NFL's negotiators would not come off of that $765 million number, that number is no longer the cap. The new agreement is expected to cost the NFL north of $1 billion. And Shane Ray, going into the draft this year, he was not able to participate in all the drills at the NFL Combine earlier this offseason, getting ready for the NFL draft because of a toe injury he suffered during his bowl game while at Missouri. There's now concern, Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, saying the teams are really concerned about that toe injury, that whoever drafts him is looking at potentially having to put him through surgery as soon as they get him in-house, and he'll miss 5 months if that is the case. So Shane Ray could be facing a real slide right now on draft board.
36th overall pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shane Ray. go have your surgery, buddy. We'll see you. You know what? We'll go Aaron Colvin on you right there. We have one guy who tweets us whenever we ask a question, Ryan, about who do you want to see, who do you think they're honing in on. He adds all the names, and then he adds not Shane Ray to every single tweet. So there are some who
maybe
absolutely
do something.
Don't. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. What do you know? What do you think when you saw the schedule? We knew the opponents. We knew that based on winning percentage last year, they were going to play the 26th easiest schedule in that regard, but the way all the games fell, what was your take when you saw it come out?
Well, a couple things is they hope to have a more home games at the start. Well, I got two at the start. I was looking, the three road games in a row that early doesn't happen a lot around this league, so it's a tough schedule because of those road games early. But look, as long as they keep playing a game in London followed by a bye, the schedule's not going to look great. Because that's a road game. So, you know, when you have one home game over 8 weeks, that's just the way it is. So,
still, though, if you look at an eight-week period, seven games in 8 weeks, five on the road, two at home, it could have been a little bit more balanced out regardless, right? I mean, even with the London trip, I agree with you, that's a factor in it. But
One part where I think maybe they did ask the league is each year after they've gone London by road game. That means you're not here for a month. This year, they're going two road games after the bye. So, you know, if my only nitpick would be, okay, they're playing London, bye, at least give them a home game somewhere right after that. So, and then the last two on the road, playoff push, baby.
Playoff play, or rest your starters for the playoffs at that point.
See, that too.
I'm getting right way ahead of
after
you.
After that Indianapolis win at home, they'll be cruising to an AFC South title.
Yes.
Yes, and then Atlanta will just be for playoff positioning. Mm-hmm. And when they have the number one seed wrapped up, they can take it easy with New Orleans and Houston.
Because after that week three butt-whooping in Foxborough, they'll have the tiebreaker over the Pats.
And you know what will happen, right, is they'll have the first seed locked up. They'll basically rest everybody so Houston can win that last game and thereby screwing their draft position for the following year.
There we go.
They're going to play a little reversal of fortune going on with that. All right, coming up in a minute, we've got Luke Jokel, Jaguar left tackle. We'll hear from him. Still time to get your thoughts in today as well. To rank among the common guys who've been mocked to the Jags at number three, your order of preference, that would be Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler, Vic Beasley, Amari Cooper, and any other single player you want to throw into the mix. Tell us who that would be and rank those four or five in the order that you would like to see them come off the board. I want to tell you, by the way, I played golf yesterday, Tony, with a mutual friend of ours, and I told him, I said, best thing you can do is save some money and go get your own custom-fitted clubs. I did it myself at Golf Tech not too long ago, and I couldn't be happier. It doesn't mean I'm that much better, but it does help. And I still have my swing flaws, but now I don't have the clubs to blame for them. The best thing to do, though, is to try out as many different ones as you can. If you go out this weekend to the Slammer and Squire on Saturday from 11 to 4 o'clock, they've got their grand demo day. Nike Golf, Ping, Titleist, TaylorMade, Sky Caddy, U.S. Kids Golf. All these equipment vendors are going to be out there. You can try all the hottest ones on the market. Hit them yourself. Bring your own clubs. Test your 7-iron versus their 7-iron and so on and see what fits you. And maybe it's time. Maybe this is the year you get a new set of clubs. Grand Demo Day and the Junior Golf Event going on this Saturday from 11 to 5 at the PGA Tour Academy and at the Slammer and Squire. So go check that out this weekend. Luke Jokel, Jaguar left tackle, straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We've been hoping to catch up this week with Luke Jokel, left tackle for your Jacksonville Jaguars, and we finally corralled him, Tony. Luke, I guess it's been tough to get hold of you because the word is you've been working hard. Your head coach seems to be impressed with the work you put in. Tell us what the offseason's been like for you so far.
You know, it's been a great offseason. Definitely came into it with a bunch of goals and all that kind of stuff. I don't think I've accomplished all of them, but I think it's been a great process, you know, to build on what I had. You know, definitely one of the biggest things was putting on weight, and I think I've, you know, done that and still building on that, and then strength also. And, you know, I've had a great offseason to, you know, get stronger. You know, I feel stronger than I've ever been, and excited about, you know, getting into everything, getting the team together, and, you know, keep improving.
I can tell just sitting here you're bigger. than you were when we left after your second year. Can you just talk a little bit about last season? And was it frustrating for you not being able to have that other, that first off season to work out some of these things that you're having to do now in your second one?
You know, it was a little frustrating at times. By no means it's an excuse. You know, we're paid to, you know, go out there and perform. And, you know, definitely, you know, I didn't feel, you know, I wasn't as heavy as I always played at. You know, I wasn't as strong. Definitely just, you know, taught me how to fight for sure. And, you know, definitely improved throughout the season, but, you know, excited to build on that. And, you know, had a great off season, you know, focus on the things in the weight room and, you know, at the dinner table pretty much. And, you know, excited about getting into this season with more confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tony, I can put weight on too. All right. I can't put necessarily the strength on.
I'm capable. Yes.
Hopefully that Luke Jokel has done. For you, just being healthy going into the off season had to be a big plus, right?
Yeah, you know, it definitely makes the offseason a lot better. You know, when you're not rehabbing, when you're not spending time in that training room, you know, we got a great training staff, and, you know, I always tell them, like, you know, I miss those guys and all that kind of stuff, but I don't ever want to see them again. So, you know, they're your friend, but you don't like to see them too much. So, it's been a great offseason just going in there and just training, going in there and spending time in the weight room and, you know, getting better with that. You know, we had a good group of offensive linemen here all offseason and, working on technique stuff. You know, it's a whole lot easier to work on football stuff when you got other guys, you know, pushing you and working on drills and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we definitely improved in all that too.
How aware are you of not only the expectations, but the criticism that you've been under for the last year, year and a half?
I know it's out there for sure, but, you know, it's just, you know, you never want to add that added pressure. You know, it's just, you know, there's pressure in being the number two pick and all that kind of stuff. And, I think the biggest thing is just going out there and playing ball. You know, in college, I just, you know, played football, loved the game. I still love the game. It's my job now, but, you know, I still have a passion for the game, want to be the best I can be. And, you know, that's just going out there every single day, you know, with your hard hat on and, you know, lunch pail ready and just, you know, getting ready to work and getting better. And I think that's the mindset you have to take every single week, and the outside stuff doesn't even matter.
Other than just getting bigger and stronger, what were the areas specifically you felt like in your game that you wanted to work on this all season?
You know, hand placement, hand work, and all that kind of stuff. And we had a great off season of that this year. That was a main focus for all of us. You know, being young players and all that kind of stuff, that's something that in the college level you can get away with, is just, you know, catching guys. And, you know, in college, you know, I was big and, you know, I could, you know, be an athlete with them and all that kind of stuff. But in the pros, you know, you got to keep guys off your body. And, you know, the passers are, you know, they have too many moves. You know, their book of moves is too much. And you got to keep guys off your body. You got to be able to use your hands, keep separation. And, you know, that was a main focus going into this offseason, and we definitely worked on it.
Have you had kind of a, whoa, didn't know guys were capable of that kind of thing moment yet?
That was probably week one of my rookie year, so yeah, for sure.
Welcome to the league.
Yeah, okay. It's not, you know, definitely just, I don't think any player comes into the NFL and is just like, oh, this is easy. You know, it's definitely a step, and, you know, the game does start to slow down as more experience you have. You know, definitely started feeling that, and it's going to hopefully keeps doing that, and, you know, feel more comfortable with everything.
A lot of youth on this offensive line, particularly last year with Lindner and Belanco starting for so much of the season as rookies. You're in your second year. You know, Beatles is like the gray-haired old man. He's in his 20s. So, but you look now, and those guys are more experienced. You're more experienced. You get Jeremy Parnell in, who hasn't started a ton, but he has been around for a while now, and they like what they saw on tape. And then you get Wisniewski, and if he gets healthy, you got a guy who started for 4 years. All of a sudden, the depth on your offensive line unit looks a lot better.
Yeah, you know, last year was, you know, definitely a tough year, and, you know, Gus always said we were in a race to gain experience. And, you know, when you got, you know, guys that haven't played a lot of NFL football, it's tough. And, you know, now we have more experience. You know, we have guys that have been there, you know, been around great players. And, you know, I think it does definitely helps the offensive line room. And also having, also having Coach Marone and all that kind of stuff, and Luke Butkus still around this year, I think that's going to, you know, add a lot to the offensive line room too. You know, Coach Marone adds a lot of experience, and, you know, he was a great offensive line coach in this league, and, you know, excited about all the, heard he's a detailed coach and excited about all the, you know, the stuff he's going to bring to our offensive line room too.
A little bit unfairly, but it's the same position. We talked today. It's the 20th anniversary of the team drafting Tony Boselli with their first ever draft pick. You're brought in. You're the next left tackle they've selected in the first round. A lot of comparisons between you two. Again, not completely fair. Have you had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Big Bo Has he imparted any kind of knowledge to you over the course of the last 2.5 years?
Yeah, you know, he's always been real friendly and always been, you know, a huge help for me. You know, he's a guy that's been there. He's played at a very, very high level in this league. And, you know, you can always take, you know, lessons from him. And, you know, he's definitely, you know, been a huge help. And, you know, talking to him has been a huge help, you know, just, you know, he's always kind of the guy that, you know, kind of soothes your, you know, I don't know.
Anxiety
or whatever. Yeah. So, he's been a huge help for me. And, you know, learning from him has been a, you know, a huge asset for me, and you know, excited to have that.
It's funny that he soothes anxiety. He doesn't strike me as that type of.
He was never like that as a player.
Right. It's like I would think he'd just get in a room with you and scream at you to be more angry when you get on the field. That's how he strikes me, at least.
No, you know, he's just a guy he's been there. So you know, he can talk, and you know, you have just crazy amounts of respect for him because, you know, I've seen tape on him, and, you know, that's the best way you can judge anyone in this league is, you know, everything's taped and the tape's out there. So, you know, he's a guy that has that experience, and he teaches from that experience for sure.
New offensive coordinators, we talk here with Luke Jokel. Greg Olson comes in from Oakland. I see you got your tablet there. I'm sure you got the playbook and everything. Blake was saying yesterday how excited he was, like Christmas. Just what's the atmosphere like with you guys seeing each other, being back? Sense of newness, put last year behind you and ready to get to work.
I definitely think there's a lot of excitement, and I think everyone's, you know, excited to, you know, get this new playbook, you know, get in the book, ready to start learning and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think everyone's a little, you know, might be a little too excited. We're just trying to read all of it, read through it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, right now we don't really know a lot that's going on, and, you know, we're going to have to process, you know, through installations, all that kind of, to understand it. But we're excited about, you know, getting out there, getting on the field and running new stuff for sure.
You talked about your goals between the end of the season and right now. What about between now and August when you report to training camp? What kind of goals do you have set for yourself?
You know, just keep building. I think a lot of my goals was, you know, all the way till the next season. You know, I'm not done. You know, I didn't have the goal to, you know, be here by the time we start, you know, workouts in April, late April or something like that. It was, I was having those goals to be ready for next season. And I think that's just build on what I've been doing, you know, keep getting stronger, you know, keep, you know, add a little bit more weight still. And, you know, just technically work on hands and work on feet. And it's going to just keep building from there.
We're excited. I know, you know, Jag fans out there see the hope, all that youth coming together, as you refer to it, and Gus has referred to it oftentimes, the race to maturity. We'll see if you guys get to the finish line in that department this year. We appreciate you taking some time out, man.
Yeah.
Not only hope, but expect big things out of you, you know, and I'm sure you do for yourself as well. So we appreciate you coming by. Have a great, continue to have a great off season, and look forward to big things this season.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, there you go, Luke Jokel. He's just a chill guy, right? I mean, people, I think, you know, got used to Tony Boselli. Tony Boselli was such an in-your-face type. And I'm not saying Luke's not a tough guy. You got to be a tough guy to play in the National Football League. He's just a different personality, right? But I think outside of Blake Bortles' development, I think Jokel's development is the next most important of any single player on this football team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the top three positions teams draft for quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher. They feel they have two of those taken care of. You know, you sort of have a feeling that Bortles is going to make a good step. Now it's for Luke to take the same step.
Right. And you know, it doesn't have to be Tony Boselli. Very few players are. You know, and as Tony, you pointed out, it's you come in to the franchise, you're picked that high, same exact spot that Boselli was picked. There's going to be natural comparisons made between the two. But he does need to be among the better left tackles in this league. You know, I mean, that's the hope. And he's putting in the work. There's no question about it. Keep in mind how young he is. He's 23 years old still. I mean, there are guys that come out of college at 23 years old. So you hope, you know, in addition to signing guys like Julius Thomas and Jeremy Parnell to help that offense, and Wisniewski, and all the help you get in free agency and whatever's to come in the draft, that internal improvement from players can't be overlooked, Ryan.
And I think one thing that Luke is going to benefit from, and all these guys, and I was at the owners' meetings last month, and I asked Sean Payton about Doug Marrone. The first thing Payton says is he's going to help Luke Jokel, and that's why he's here, to get the, you know, get this group better. You know, and Peyton specifically talked about how much of a technique and teacher Marrone is. So, I mean, that's going to be, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch him coach during camp.
Right.
Because we're so used to seeing one way. Let's see how he does it.
Right. And look, I think they've got the pieces now in place. We haven't really talked much about it with you today. What did you make of Wisniewski, who they believe will be healthy for the start of training camp?
Well, I like the move. I mean, it made sense when he came in, and obviously 1 year, it's a show-me deal that's worked out here before with this regime, chiefly with Marks. And, you know, I like the attitude that Wisniewski brought in. He expects to start. And
he started from the moment he came into the league.
Yeah, he started every game. And, you know, they say he has position, you know, he can play a little guard. He started that rookie year at guard, but, you know, he's here to play center.
Right.
And it's going to be, you know, he's a veteran guy, so he can learn the system even though he's not on the field. But if he's ready to go by camp starts, then I would expect him to do that.
He is on a short-term deal. Bowanko is a young player. Is this completely take offensive line off the board, or for how many rounds in your mind does this take offensive line out of consideration?
Well, I think it does for the first 2 days, so that's rounds 1 through 3. Maybe in the later rounds, if they pick up an extra fifth or a sixth via trade, maybe you start looking at a guy. But, you know, they're banking on the guys they have to be better.
Getting better, right.
And so they don't – their need scale probably isn't as high as what I – you know, the other people think it is. I think it's lower on their deal. I think they need to go a lot of other holes before they do a lot.
I think now if they feel – and again, it's risky because, you know, even though he's scheduled to return to full strength, you never know because he's not there right now. And Parnell hasn't played a bunch, you know, hasn't started a bunch, put it that way. Some people brought up immediately on Twitter, and I don't think it's outrageous. I'm not saying you plan this way, but it could – happen to fall this way if Alex Mack opts out of his deal next year.
Right, that's definitely in play.
Right, I mean, he's already shown a willingness to come here to Jacksonville and play. Wisniewski's on a 1 year deal. Hey, maybe he plays fantastic. Maybe you end up signing him, or maybe, he gets in the mix, pushing Beatles. Who knows? But, Alex Mack, and we don't know if they'll opt out of his deal. I mean, Cleveland could have a renaissance this year, and he may say, you know what, I'm going to stick here. Right where I am, but could you imagine that if Jokel does develop and if Beatles does play much better this year and Linder, everyone thinks, is going to be outstanding and Parnell is the guy they paid him to be, and then you could add that at some point in the future. Getting ahead of ourselves, but it makes
sense. That's what we're supposed to do.
Some dot connecting that's a little bit logical.
We're doing tea leaf reading.
Tea leaf reading. All right, we will come back, and you are not reading the tea leaves, but giving us your opinion on your preferences as far as the usual suspects that you see in mock drafts right now. Fowler, Williams, Cooper, Beasley, or if you want to throw a fifth name into the mix, we asked you today to tweet us, post on the Facebook page, or give us a call and rank those four to five players, depending on if you throw a wild card into the mix. And your personal preference, if the Jags are picking at number 3 and the quarterbacks are off the board, which way would you like to see them go? We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Coming up next, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Is this more JT?
Sexy back.
JT. He and Jessica just had a little baby. Spoiled rich brat is what that kid's going to be. Any questions about that?
Nope.
Speaking of spoiled rich brats, saw the story yesterday. Might have been on Gawker.com. Yeah, you heard of the new music download site. Was it Tidal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all the artists are already like billionaires. Want you to pay twice of what you pay on Spotify for no other reason than they want more of your
Thank
money.
Thank you, Tyler.
Right? I'm sure you're welcome. Apparently, it's doing very poorly.
No kidding.
Right, right, exactly.
Asking people to pay more money for something they can get somewhere else.
Right. And plus, not to mention the app apparently is horrendous.
Right.
I've never downloaded it.
Digital age.
Right.
I can't believe that.
Kanye's invested in this, and he tweeted out a bunch of stuff about how this is gonna, you know, it's gonna revolutionize the world. Basically, this is gonna solve all the world's problems. This Tidal app, and he is in the active process, or his handlers, his business people, his manager,
his camp.
Right, his camp. Thank you. It was a good one. Are in the active process of deleting said tweets right now.
Right.
So I just think it's pretty funny. The rich overplayed their hand on that particular one right there. Just be satisfied being super filthy rich,
right?
Not super mega filthy
recording
rich.
Music and touring.
Oh, my goodness. You know?
Right.
Because we're going to return art to the artists or some nonsense
yeah.
like this.
Can you imagine just writing one song in your life that you could go around and play for 30 years, and every time you start it, people just start going crazy.
Right.
And want to say, just give me one. You know, that's enough for me. Just the idea of being on a stage and everybody being like, play it!
Now, you know, I guarantee there's got to be a band or an artist out there who had that one hit, and they want a tour, and they don't want to play that one hit. You know, that's the only one anybody really shows up for.
Right.
And they're like, no, I want to play my new stuff. Like, no.
We don't want it.
We don't want your new stuff.
We don't want it.
None of that new
stuff.
I love
the guys who embrace it. Like, Sir Mix-a-Lot with Baby Got Back totally embraces that song.
Why wouldn't you?
He's like, you want to do a remix of it? Yeah, I'll come do it. You want to do it with an orchestra? Yeah, I'll come do Baby Got Back with an orchestra. I don't care. He loves touring that song.
Why wouldn't
you?
Now, look, if you're going to be like, you know, like the Eagles played a new song last time I saw them. It was pretty good, but they played like 30 other ones you want to hear, too. So who cares? Give me one out of 30, I'll give you. You can play
right.
that new song.
Well, we saw it on
Somebody's
got
to go to the bathroom at some point.
Right. We saw it on Sunday with Joan Jett. She was like, here's a song off our new album. You can almost hear the crowd go,
Tony, well, she was smart, though, because she played it third to last, because she played I Love Rock and Roll and Crimson and Clover as
yeah.
the last two.
She played I Love Rock and Roll right after. It was like, we know what we've just done to you. Now we're going to bring you
right.
back in.
She brought us back in.
Yeah.
Although I did hit the T-shirt line during the new song.
Yeah. Fragile.
Lines were whatever. lines were shorter once the concert got going. All right. Today, fan feedback spotlight asking you what's your wish list in order of preference with the usual suspects mocked to the Jags at number 3. And I'll be glad when the draft gets here for no other reason than we're running out of creative new questions for the draft that we haven't used yet. My goodness. But we hadn't used that one yet, Tony, so give us a look at the feedback.
Here's what we got from Mike. He said, Leonard Williams, Vic Beasley, Dante Fowler, Amari Cooper, and not Shane Ray.
Not Shane. There he is. The new Mike DeShone was going to weigh in.
From at Irish Jaguar, Williams, Beasley, Fowler, Cooper.
Okay, interesting. It's two who just say D-line. They have their own preferences in which order.
Yes, from Bill, Leonard Williams, Vic Beasley, Dante Fowler, Amari Cooper, Bud Dupree
okay.
as his wild card. Cristiano, Beasley, Williams, 3A, trade down, 3B, Dupree.
Cristiano's already got his wish.
Fowler and Cooper.
He talked to Gus. Stop it, Cristiano.
From Eric, Williams, Fowler, Cooper, trade again. So he does not want Vic Beasley. From Dan, we got Williams, Cooper, Fowler, Gurley, Beasley. From Brian, Williams, Fowler, Cooper, Beasley, Dupree. From Kevin, Williams, Fowler, Cooper via trade, Gurley or Dupree. Chad said Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler, Cooper, Beasley, Shane Ray. Ray's probably off the list if that surgery rumor is true. Apparently that's going to be up to the teams, by the way. They got to make a decision on that when they draft him. Isaiah said Beasley, Williams, Parker, Cooper. From Ortapalooza, Beasley, Williams, Cooper, Fowler.
Interesting, the prior one, Parker over Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From David, Cooper as their top guy, Williams, Dupree, Gurley, Fowler. That's the first
one. That's an interesting list.
Yeah. From Cam, Fowler, Williams, Cooper, Beasley, and then Kevin White. From Nick, Beasley, I don't even know why he mentioned anyone else. He's been saying pick Vic now for 2 months. Yeah. But Beasley, Williams, Fowler, Cooper, and then Scherf. And from Michael, Williams, no-brainer, Fowler, Cooper, trade if possible, Beasley. So probably the most common answer that I saw was Williams, Fowler, Cooper. In that
a lot of Williams in there. Here's a couple from Facebook. Douglas Pelsey said, Girl Beasley. Via trading the number 3 pick to the Browns for 2 first-rounders, you're not getting Gurley and Beasley with the 12 and 19.
Probably not.
It's not happening, matter what Josh Norris mocked a week ago. That's a wish list mock, but that's okay. Then he went Williams, Fowler, Cooper, Gurley if they're feeling gutsy. Johnny Crum went Cooper, Gurley with 3 exclamation points for Gurley, but not for Cooper. Williams, Fowler, Beasley, hashtag Jaguars today. Tie for first between Williams and Fowler with Cooper. Then a Gurley-Gordon combo at number 4, and then Beasley would be his choice. There was seemed like a burgeoning pick Vic movement out there. Today's response seems like it's not the majority, right?
Well, you're reading off those lists. It sounds like everybody's got their toe in a different pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a lot of the you know, sort of like the ping pong balls right now. But, you know, like judging by the fan, it is a majority sounds like defense. You know, if Todd Gurley is sitting here a week from today, I'll be stunned.
I wanted to ask you that, and let me give a plug for what's going on that night first. 1010XL will be here broadcasting live from Everbank Field. Next Thursday, I'll be up in Chicago. Tony will have Jaguars today on the day of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank and Rick and Brent will do the show out here in the afternoon. And then starting at 6 o'clock, the Jaguars Bud Light Draft Party broadcast live here from Everbank Field. Coverage on the video boards. You're going to get family entertainment, autographs, great food. 30 of your favorite local restaurants or even more than that will be in attendance. And all fans attending, of course, have to have a free ticket. Told you about this yesterday. We'll continue to tell you. You need to go to jaguars.com/draft party to print your free ticket. It doesn't cost you anything, but you have to have it or you can't get in. It's that simple. So last year, Ryan, Tony will tell you, were you at the draft party last year covering it from that angle?
I was at the draft.
Okay. Yeah. At the draft party, what was your reaction, Tony, when Blake Bortles got selected?
It was the first time I had heard Caldwell and Bradley booed.
Booed. Okay. And a lot of that was because of the surprise factor, the shock factor, what have you.
Yeah, there was like this light cheering, and then it was almost confusion is how it felt.
They probably convinced themselves it was Watkins or
right.
Mack at that point.
So, and they had both those options available to them, and so when they took Bortles, there was just kind of like, what, boo.
Right, and there were probably even a smidgen of Teddy Bridgewater, like, you took the wrong quarterback group in there.
And then Gus took the stage. And everything changed again.
The ice cream truck came in.
How about all you guys, man?
you guys are awesome, man.
Oh, yeah, we love this guy.
Yeah. if Todd Gurley is announced as it goes quarterback, or quarterback Leonard Williams with the third pick in the 2015 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select running back from the University of Georgia, and immediately they know who it is. What's the reaction?
They will storm the stage in celebration.
Will they?
Yes.
Is that a personal feeling on the selection of Ty Gurley, or do you really believe that would be the overwhelming reaction from the fan base?
I think it would be cheered wildly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think it would be a mixed reaction at that point in time. It would be bold, to be sure. I don't expect it to happen. Well, what difference does that make? Not many,
right.
Hayes Garland, expected it to be Blake Bortles last year. Doesn't matter what we expect, right? It certainly would be bold. And look, people love offensive playmakers, right?
That's why.
Yeah, but I mean, you took a quarterback last year,
yeah.
And it was.
Well,
a
I think that was.
Pick.
I think people were more shocked.
Probably.
What's
so.
Our reaction supposed to be?
See, I think Amari Cooper. There'll be some people that react very favorably. Obviously. There'll also be, I mean, a lot of people, their preference is, let's get a big, ugly defensive lineman, you know, who can wreck game plans.
Well, I think there's a difference, too, between, look, last year when we were going into the draft, I can remember the day of the draft, we said, if there is a wild card type pick, do they have the guts to take a Johnny Manziel at 3? I mean, that day, it was like, could they do something crazy like Manziel at 3? So the fans that were there, if they were thinking quarterback, probably weren't thinking the Central Florida guy in Blake Bortles, and probably didn't know a whole lot about that player. I think there is a significant difference between that and Gurley, who is a running back that everybody knows who he is, everybody's seen him play, and he's been dynamic on national TV on
and almost
several
the consensus
occasions.
Number one guy, right?
Right.
His position. I mean, I'm sure you find an occasional person who ranks somewhat.
I don't think
ahead
it would quite be the reaction that we got when they traded up to go get Blackmon a handful of years ago, where
right.
they went absolutely berserk.
Because they were so desperate
right.
for that offensive
and
playmaker.
Everyone kind of had this feeling, this is the pick, it's going to put us over the top. I don't think it would be like that for Gurley, but I think it would be close.
Speaking of offensive playmakers, Jimmy Smith makes his Jaguars Today debut
yeah.
tomorrow at 10:15. He is more than excited about it, if you judge by him on Twitter. And also tomorrow, as I told people on Twitter, if you're good, this is on you now, listeners. If you're good, we may have Dave Caldwell stop by tomorrow as well and talk with us before the media luncheon. Ryan, it looked like you had an amazing point you were about to make, and I kind of cut you off a moment ago. Is that the case? Are you out of amazing points for today?
I'm out.
You're out. You're all done?
let's I'm gonna plug a couple things.
Yeah, please do.
Tomorrow, while people are listening to Jaguars today, they can. I'll be having an online chat from 10 to 11 on Jacksonville.com.
Okay, draft stuff?
Draft, schedule, whatever you guys want to talk about.
Okay.
Pretty much an open forum. And then we'll go into defensive line on Sunday. And then the one story we're going to do next week that was well received during free agency is we make the case for guys. And we're going to do six or seven guys again. So we'll have stuff every day, but those are the chat tomorrow. And I'm also going to do a chat from 6 to 7 p.m. next Thursday before the first round starts.
Ah, very good. And I would imagine the guys you're going to make the case for, many of them are among the ones we're discussing today.
And we'll probably throw a couple curveballs in there, too. So I'm like, next year if they're picking like 15 or 16 and they win a couple more games, I'm like, now the draft's going to be sort of interesting to watch. Now it's just like, can it be over?
At this point,
get there, get the picks.
Win some games.
Win some games.
What do you, as we close, they don't say much in these pre-draft lunches. Mm-hmm. And with good reason. They're not going to give away the farm. Is there anything you're hoping to hear from Bradley Caldwell tomorrow?
One thing, and I talked to Dave last week for about a half hour across the hall, and we went over the positions and stuff. One thing I always ask him at this, he usually gives me an answer, is, are you done with the pre-draft visits? Or are you bringing anybody in this week? Second, how many guys have you taken off your board for character? Last year it was 14 or 16, somewhere in the teens. Any trade calls, that kind of thing. And one thing I want to ask both of them is, the fact that you feel like you have better people already here, does that give you, are you looking for a guy who can play just one spot and do very good at it right away, or somebody that you can maybe move around a little bit? So those are the couple. But you're right, Mike, is you have to carve out an angle from this thing tomorrow.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be telling you. I mean, they try to be as open as they can without hurting their own cause.
Yeah, and one thing that they'll usually be pretty good about is, and I talked to Dave about this last week, he gave me some stuff on Fowler that he likes, some stuff on Leonard Williams. You can color around the edges, so to speak, and give some insight, because everybody knows you've looked at these players. You've had them in town.
Of course.
So, they can give you a little something there.
A little something. There he goes, Justin Timberlake's biggest fan in Jacksonville and the head of a soon-to-be-formed wrestling blog consortium, Mr. Ryan O'Halloran.
Hacker, by the way, Hacker joining us here. What did you think about doing a wrestling blog?
Dirt. Been waiting for that for years. Kidding me? Kidding me? It's intriguing. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Should have thrown a terrific in there to really put it over the top.
Terrific.
Terrific. All right, I think that's absolutely terrific. All right, that'll do it for us today. Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, at his name, at Ryan O'Halloran, and read him in the digital pages or the ink stain pages of the Florida Times Union. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks to all of our great sponsors and all of you out there in Radio Land. Tomorrow, Jimmy Smith at 10:15, and then if the schedule holds for the general manager, we'll have Dave Caldwell at hour number two tomorrow of Jaguars Today. So I guess you'll have to tune in and find out if it all goes that way. Plus, Union Jacks Joe, I haven't forgotten about you. He wrote a great email to us. I'll get to some of the highlights of that tomorrow on the program as well. So thanks for listening. XL Primetime coming up next here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.